Anyone got the Christmas blues a bit? Anyone got the January blues? Missing it? I love Christmas, so I'm kind of missing it a little bit. It's quite tough outside now, isn't it? Now that we had all our lights up, didn't we? Everywhere you drove, there was lights. We do a little drive out every year, well, if I'm quite often at work, but my the youngsters in the family will go and look around at lights and stuff. So it's kind of sad when they all get taken down, because it's still dark, isn't it, in this time of year. But I went to visit my sister recently, and she took all her Christmas stuff down, as we all do, Christmas lights. But she snuck some white ones in, which go all year round. So she was like, they're my Jesus lights. So it's just good. My brother-in-law just kind of goes, yeah, that's fine, whatever. It's more trouble than it's worth to argue with, I think, probably. But there we go. So I think that there are two types of Christmases. Or rather, the two types of ends of Christmases. There's the one where everything gets packed away at the end of the Christmas season. Or there's one that we can hold on to all year round. That little Christmas spirit that you kind of have, that feeling. And I read an article recently by a Christian author. I've not pinched anything that they've said. I'm not plagiarising, don't worry. But I like the point they made about the fact that you can have that every month. You have that little bit of Christmas spirit that still exists inside, a little bit of excitement, exclusive of your faith as well in some ways. Little secret, I've got a menorah. Does anyone know what a menorah is? So it's like the seven, or I think there's sometimes nine pronged candle that the Jewish people have to celebrate Hanukkah. Well, I've got a little menorah that I was given, and it lives on my kitchen windowsill all year long. And occasionally, every couple of months, I'll just flick it on to make sure all the bulbs are still working. But I look at it as I'm washing up, which is, you know, Jesus is meant to be represented. If you're a Messianic Jew, he's meant to be represented by the one in the middle, so the candle in the middle. So at Christmas time, we celebrate the baby Jesus, the birth of Jesus, when he was born. And it can feel a little bit sad when we pack everything away. Even like as Christians, when we pack all our, you know, we pack your nativity away, it can feel a bit sad. So, well, I have good news for you. They didn't pack away the baby Jesus when he was born, 2 weeks after he was born. Good job, too. I think the authorities might have something to say about that. but I like the attitude. And when I was praying about this preach, I felt like the Lord was saying to me, you know what? The baby's still here, you know? Like, the baby's still, in Jesus' time, he was still there. He was still present. He was and it was exciting. And when baby's born, it is very exciting. Anybody watch Call the Midwife? You get lots of babies being born, and that's very exciting, you know. And it's I really like that, the fact that a birth is amazing. But it doesn't, the excitement, you know, and the peace, and then maybe not quiet, but the peace that goes with it when the baby's here kind of lives on a bit with you. And reining it back into Jesus, he stayed with his parents, obviously, and he endured the same way that he endures in us now. In fact, his name, Emmanuel, means God with us. Cool fact. Someone might know, actually. Does anyone know how many years before he was born, the prophecy, you might know the book that it comes from, but does anyone know how many years it was before the prophecy of his name and the fact that he would be born of a virgin before he was actually born? Anybody? Oh, how many years? Anyone? Oh. Oh. Oh, you're close there, but yeah, any advance? No, no. if I've read it correctly, 730 years. I mean, that's an awesome fact in itself. Not to mention the other hundreds of prophecies and prophetic words about Jesus before he actually was born. 730 years, almost as old as Phil. So, yeah. How long? If I did, I'd be checking to make sure that the door opened at the back. He might still be able to catch me, even if with his knee up, bless him. So, anyway, sorry, Phil, shameless joke at your expense. So, anyway, Jesus came as a baby, but he didn't stay as a baby. Obviously, he grew up. He became the man that he was, the God-man that he was meant to. And he died for our sins, and he rose again. But he didn't go from being a baby to a man overnight, obviously, although when you read it in the Bible, it does feel very much like it goes, apart from a small bit in the Bible that talks about when he was a teenager at the temple. It took a lot of things. It took a lot of things for him to grow up. Lots of things that all probably that we need, all babies need to grow. Who can name a few? What is it that you need to grow up? It's not a test. We all made it, didn't we? So we must have had something. Food? Yeah. There's three I'm after in particular. That was one of them. Yeah, I'm lumping food and water together, and you'll understand why in a minute. So food and water together. I'll give you another clue. Air. Oxygen, of course. Huh? Oh, sorry. Clean out my ears, sorry. Christmas pudding stuck in there somewhere. and one more thing that is, yeah, it's kind of integral. Something that I only recently remembered that all babies need, especially when they first are born. Absolutely, yeah. And in that, defining in that warmth, the first thing they do, what they do, is cold little, or she's a cold little baby when they pop out. So they wrap them, they swaddle them, or, you know, they wrap them in a towel, or I don't know, how wherever you come from. So that's the three things. There are other things, of course, that you need. Similar to what all living things need, essentially, to grow, amongst some other bits. So it will soon be spring, although it doesn't feel like it. Anyone freezing this week? I remarked to my missus that I don't work outside as much as I should do anymore, and I'm now a coldie. I used to be, it's fine, shorts, and off I go. And now I was like, filling up petrol this morning in the car, and I was like, this is cold. But anyway, so it will be spring. Spring will come, of course. We see all sorts of things popping up, popping out, being born, growing, like Exhibit A in my bag, which I haven't got out yet. Hang on one second. These bad boys. And if you can see them. Runner beans. The Lady Di version. I didn't know that they were named, actually. It's a bit weird. That's a bit embarrassing, isn't it? My dad's a horticulturalist. I should probably know that. But anyway, so as was reminded of me, it is a bit early. Especially when you read the back, you're like, April. Yeah, maybe we're a bit too early. But anyway, still, it's going to prove the point I want to make. So these need three things to grow, similar to what we do as human beings. It's kind of cheating because we kind of already talked about it, but you can shout out if you want. What's one thing that they probably need to grow? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good one. That's coming back, actually, in a minute. Water, yep. Compost, soil, food, yeah, absolutely. The air is, obviously, what they need is they need carbon dioxide, I think I read that right. I wasn't very good at science at school. But we need the opposite to what they need, so we live in this, praise the Lord, remarkable system of us breathing out, then breathing in, then giving out, and it's just wonderful. So we really love that. Food, yeah, soil, water. Same as kids. Actually, it's not the same as kids. Don't feed your children soil, just to clarify. Well, there are some toddlers that would probably disagree. I think I'm pretty much sure I remember tasting mud at one point when I was a kid. Does everyone do that? They think it looks like chocolate or something. And yeah. Anyway, it's not good. So don't eat it. Kids, don't eat earth. So, and more importantly, what I think it might have been Luke that said, actually, sunlight. Sunlight is a key factor. It's also a key, kind of a key factor for us, but more on that later. Who wants to plant some? Do you want to plant some now? Who wants to plant some? Kids, do you want to plant some? Oh, mate, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not restricting it to the children. Is anybody over there want to plant some? Probably not. We'll get their parents to drag them over. So I'll leave this here, and I'm just going to set up on the table. Yeah, is that all right? Thanks, bud. Yeah. I'm taking a note for the Dunnings. They normally always do this stuff at the end because it becomes a bit messy. But actually, let's create a bit of chaos and do it now, shall we? I think that'd be good. Yeah, line some cups up. Yeah. I don't know if you probably can't see what's going on here, although you've got a pretty good guess, I'm sure. They're half filling one, putting a runner bean in, and then they're going to put some more in, and then Dave's going to give him some water. If anybody else wants one at the end, if there's some left, please do come and grab one. I'm sure that it will not go to waste. So, I'm going to grab one. I don't even like runner beans, but I'm going to grab one anyway. My wife does, so that's okay. Oh, well done. You might need to wash some hands. Yeah, sorry. Dirty to men. Joseph, you're not drinking your bean, are you? Don't drink it or eat it. Not yet, anyway. Okay. All right, dude. You doing well? Well done. What you got in there? Oh, well done. It's sticking good. That's cool. Cool. Well done, guys. Okay. All right. We're pretty much there. There we go. Well done. I know, sorry about that. We have to wash some hands. Sorry, parents. There you go. I didn't lie. They might be eating some dirt. No, don't eat. No. I'm pretty sure this is not good for you to ingest. Okay, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to plant one. I can see some left. I'm going to plant one when I get home, and I'm going to take it as a reminder for me to grow my faith at the same time. So I'm going to grow the seed. But incidentally, I was assured by the lady that I bought these from that if you put them, although they're planted outside normally, you can start growing them inside. If you just pop them on a windowsill, they'll start to, because it's so warm inside, so they'll start to, I'm not responsible for how much they grow between now and April when you're meant to put them outside, okay? So that's on you. I'll probably end up, mine might not grow. But anyway, it's okay. So, like these beans, There are many things that help us thrive in our faith, but there are three things. And in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it's a very short bit of scripture. I'm going to read to you what it says if you want to flip a Bible open, although I'm pretty sure you probably know this scripture very well. Okay. I'm actually reading from the kids' one because I think it's cool. So it's 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, so these three things continue forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So these three things continue forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So faith is the hope or the waiting for, the evidence of things unseen that then come about, of which the origin of that is God, who without none of this would exist. So hope is the motive. We hope to find food, water, and light to help us grow, the same as a hope in a faith does. Love is the object of our faith, to grow and to be nurtured and then to provide for others. In good faith, we plant these seeds, i.e. everything we need, God has given to us. Ourselves, others, and Jesus feed that and hope for it to grow and hope for us to grow in our faith. We care and love for it. The hope bit is also the supernatural bit, and naturally supernatural, just to clarify, God is naturally supernatural. The stuff of prayers, the work of the Holy Spirit, the miracle grow. Not endorsing anyone. Yeah, not endorsing any. But I did think it was cool. You know. Anyway. The sunlight thing is really important. Giving it sunlight, which makes it thrive. We even need sunlight as well. I'm sure you probably already know. For vitamin D, we go outside. It's the sun's rays that help us boost those levels, and other vitamins, I think. But anyway, that was your major one. That's actually what helps boost your immune system as well. Not that there's much around this time of year, which is why it can feel a bit. But there you go. But we also need the sun's light, or Jesus, as we call him. See what I did there? Sunlight, sun's light. It's terrible. But anyway, thank you, Owen. Thank you. You know, it's okay. If it's bad, you'll hopefully remember it, which is good. Yesterday, I wasn't going to add this in, but it's actually a really beautiful illustration that God gave to me yesterday. I was walking to work. My usual lift had let me down, and let's face it, I probably could do with a few more walks in after Christmas, that's gonna be all. And as I was passing a house on my way to work, I noticed that they only had one light on in the hallway. But because they'd left all the doors open, the light was, you could see from the outside, the light spreading to all different rooms in the house, which I thought was a really great illustration for the fact that actually we're letting Jesus into your life in that, or letting him work more in your life if you've already asked him into your life. If you leave doors open to areas of your life that need that work, that light will come flooding in and will actually drive out the dark bits and stuff. Although it's already been paid. Just to clarify what I'm about to say next, Jesus has paid the price. He is like our constant gardener. In fact, he's mistaken for the gardener, isn't he, in the garden after his resurrection. So he takes out the bad stuff in our life, and he gives us the good stuff. And we don't often like to talk about the bad stuff. And thank you for your wonderful illustration, Rob, earlier about talking about it being too one-sided. I think that it's okay to talk about it a bit, but not overemphasize. But there is sin. You know, sin is prevalent. It is something that we, that's been paid for. But there's still things. There's still always improvement to be had in our lives. I love it when they take our rubbish away in our black bins, because it just feels, for me, it's like a lovely illustration about the fact that the Lord was still dealing with us in our sanctification. We're still giving him stuff. We're still asking him stuff, and he's still taking this stuff away, although it's been paid for. We have at least probably one thing each year. You know, we do that thing every year where we kind of go, you know, it's new year now. What's one thing I could probably shift out, or one thing I don't need, or one thing I'm worried about, or one thing that's getting in my relationship in the way with the Lord? In Luke 18:18, Jesus is asked by the young rich ruler about what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. He says, well, I've followed all the rules, you know, Lord, and I've done everything that they've told me to do. But there's, what do I do now to follow you and to keep, you know, to keep this eternal life? And Jesus, looking at him, knowing his heart, said, well, there's one thing between you and God, and that is your money. So go away and give everything to the poor, then you can come back and follow me. And I think it's no mistake that there's no real conclusion, or not that we can see, to that. We know that he goes away with a bit of a heavy heart. Let's hope he did. Let's hope he did, eh? So what I would ask you one question, because I think a sermon sometimes is a little bit about awkwardness or something in your life, and that is, what's the one thing that maybe that comes to mind that maybe be getting between you and your walk with the Lord? Or putting it like this, what do you put, or as someone once said, what's on your throne? Now, what is it that you imagine the throne? What do you place there? What's the thing that you do? One thing that gets in the way, or sometimes maybe one thing that gets in the way, or maybe sometimes that's just not massively in the way, but just niggles at you. I know I've got some things. Kids, it's not schoolwork. You're not allowed to use schoolwork. We're not allowed to use washing up because we have to do that, okay? Or whatever. Anyway, there might be one thing. What would you cheerfully open a door and boot out? I think is a good explanation. If you're making a fresh start, what's tripping you up? What's stopping your plant from growing? What's strangling that? Are you scared, or are you worried to give it up? Has it become something that is, you know, something in your life that you lean on? Well, Joshua 1 verse 9 might help you. And then we'll draw to a close. It's a fantastic book, actually. It's great. He says, remember that I have commanded you to be strong and brave. So don't be afraid. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Nothing's changed. It's still the same. Wherever we go, God is with us, and the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. And that's really important. There's nowhere that you can run to, but there's also nowhere that you you can't get away from it, and you it's always there. It sounds a bit bad, but do you understand what I mean by that is that it's a comforter. So no matter how you're feeling, or you know, just consistent prayer and spending time and seeking God. And I've found in the years of my faith, I've found that having a faith and then also seeking God that much more in certain times and putting a time aside makes a really big difference, actually. And Christmas sometimes and the busyness gets in the way of that a little bit. So maybe it's just pulling back in the relationship that you have maybe had before. That's it. That's all I've got for you today. I'm going to do a quick prayer. And then I think we're having, I don't know, we're having another song or we're having a brew. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, Lord, thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given us. And I pray that we wake up every morning with an attitude of gratitude. That even if sometimes if the times are tough, that there's always something to be thankful for. Help our faith to grow like this runner being, but better. Help us to get rid of maybe one thing that takes over and sometimes gets in the way of helping us connect with you. Help us to spend a bit more time with you each day. Even if it's just a couple of minutes, it can be a real blessing. Like the little bits of food and water and sunlight that help a plant grow. Help us to take those things in and encourage each other as well in that. Be checking up on each other and seeing how our runner beans are growing. In Jesus' name, amen.